Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. We are continuing in our study through the book of Ephesians. We've arrived here. Very powerful scripture we're going to be going into this morning. Why do we study the Bible? Why is the Bible so important to us? It is the Word of God. And what makes that so important to our lives? Because as true Christians, the bottom line of true Christianity is what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." You know, Christianity is just not a group of people who believe in Jesus, because the Bible says the demons believe in Jesus, right, in James? And they tremble. It's not believing in Jesus, it's committing our lives to Him, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And how can we know the will of God except through the Scriptures? This is the revelation of the will of God. So as Christians, we want to live our lives in a way that pleases Him. We make it our goal to please Him. Amen? How do we know what pleases Him? Unless we have the Word of God. So that's why Jesus said, "How can you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do?" We've got to be men and women of the Word, knowing it, living in it, let it live in us. And that's why the Scriptures are so dear to our hearts. So this morning, we're going to begin with Ephesians 6 and verse 5. To find out again, to be reminded of, and maybe for some to discover how God wants us to be like in the workplace, where we work. It says here in verse 5, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Boy, what a powerful passage of Scripture, talking about slaves and free here, all right? The workplace is one of the greatest areas of our life to honor God and to live our lives out as a testimony to what God has done for us and in us. But how many know it's one of the most difficult places to be a light sometimes, okay? Our jobs. How does God want us to live on our jobs? Now, this particular theme we find over and over again in the Scriptures, because this is such a huge area with God. We find it in Ephesians, we find it in Colossians, we find it in Titus, we find it in 1 Peter, God addressing the attitude of the Christian in the workplace. And gives us, the God's Word gives us clear directives into what pleases Him, what will please God as we work. Okay? For instance, Titus chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. This is in your notes, but you can turn to that. Titus chapter 2 says this, very, very important. "Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior." In other words, as we serve, as we do our jobs, we can actually make the gospel attractive. That's what adorn means, to beautify, to make the doctrine of God attractive. And how do we do that? By the way that we live. And that's what it's talking about here. Bondservant, the word doulos is translated slave, is translated servant in the Scriptures. It applies to every one of us. And notice what it says here in Titus. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. In other words, when you have a boss, you need to submit to that boss. You need to submit to that boss. He's your boss. And during those hours that you're working, you need to do what he says, or your supervisor. That's what we are to do. That's our calling. And they are to be well-pleasing. We're to please those in authority over us and serve them. But because we're lawless by nature and we're sinful by nature and we don't like people telling us to do by nature, God has to go to the next word, okay? Don't be argumentative. Why does God say that in His Word? Because He knows human nature. He knows that we can get argumentative. We have a boss, but we think our way is better than the boss. Or we think we know something that they should do that they're not doing. And even if we're right, we're not to be argumentative. Or pilfering. Anybody know what the word pilfering means? Stealing. Stealing. Stealing in little amounts is actually what it means if you look it up in the dictionary. As Christians, we shouldn't be taking stuff off the job, okay? It's not ours. It belongs to our boss. There's an attitude that God is addressing here, and the reason God addresses it is because we tend in our sinful nature to do just the opposite of what God wants. So we need His Word to direct us. Isn't it great to have the Word of God? Okay. And showing all good faith so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. So when people know we're Christians on the job, we can actually beautify the teaching of God's Word by the attitude with which we serve other people on the job. And that's what God is talking about here. And we have great models and examples of that in the Scripture. Take Joseph, for instance. Joseph, Genesis chapter 37 through 45, right in there. Joseph was the son of Jacob, one of 12 sons. How'd you like to be raised in a family of 12 boys? How'd you like to be the mother of the family of 12 boys? Again. But Joseph was one of them, and Joseph's brothers hated him and wounded him severely. They sold him as a slave. They ganged up on him and sold him to the Midianites. You think that was an opportunity for him to get bitter and angry and wallow in self-pity and bitterness all his life? He had a real opportunity to do that. But Joseph, at 17 years old, is taken by these Midianites and he's taken to Egypt. And the Midianites then sell him to a man named Potiphar. Because Joseph no longer has a life. He's a slave. He's a piece of property. And he goes to Potiphar. And what does he do when he's in the house of Potiphar? Is he whining? Is he complaining? If he's saying, "Why are you doing this to me, God? I've been serving you." Is he wallowing in self-pity? No. He's not doing anything of that. What's he doing? He's making lemonade out of lemons. He is just buckling down, and he said, "I'm going to do my best to serve this man." And look what it says here in Genesis 39, verse 5. It says, "From the time that Potiphar made Joseph overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." Wow. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was upon all that Potiphar had in house and in field. Why did God bless him? Because a man of God was there serving him. You see, and Joseph served God. If you read the life of Joseph, his strength was that he had his eyes on the Lord the whole time. Even though he was unjustly treated, even though he was unjustly accused, he served God. And that is the key to what we're talking about here this morning. So we have many strong biblical illustrations of this and the heart of God for all of us as His people. So in the book of Ephesians, we have four key elements of our attitude that God addresses here. Number one, on the job, be obedient. Be obedient. Bond servants, it says in Colossians. Now here's the whole other chapter. You can turn there and read in your notes. In Colossians, it says, "Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by the way of eye service as men, as people pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." In sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Not just in the way of pleasing a person, but in the way of pleasing God. Fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to find somebody who is teachable, really teachable, find somebody who fears God. Because they understand they don't know it all. And they have a lot to learn. And they realize God is our teacher. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Obeying everything, those are your earthly masters. In sincerity of heart, fearing God. Why? Because we understand as Christians, God is our supplier. Amen? Not our job. Oh boy, we got to be reminded of this. Not the government. Not our employer. But God is. How do we know that? Go back into the Scriptures, Deuteronomy chapter 8. God says, "You shall remember," tells His people, "that the Lord your God, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. Not my education, not my degrees, Now, my experience, it is the Lord who gives me the power to get wealth. In America, we are the wealthiest nation in the world. You know, everyone in this room, every one of us in this room, if you own a car, you have more than 95% people in the world, if you own your own car. I mean, we are a wealthy nation, aware that God has given us our job. Every time I go through these passages of scriptures, and if you've been here for many years, you've heard these stories, but I cannot go on without telling you how God revealed these things to me when I was young. My younger years, I was in construction. I was a carpenter. I was a concrete finisher. I was a truck driver and those kind of things. And one day I was driving for a company building highways. We built the I-70 between Flagler and the Kansas border out there. And I was driving these 18-wheeler belly dump trailers. And there were about 12 truck drivers. And I started hearing rumors that the truck drivers were going to go on strike because they didn't like the wages we were being paid. And I thought we were being paid great wages. I was making more money than I'd ever made before. So all the truck drivers got together, and they needed solidarity in order to go on strike. So they needed every man to join them in the strike. And they knew I was a Christian, and they waited to tell me last. And so here we are at the end of the day, and I'm fixing up my truck, getting ready for the next day, and I see these guys walking across the parking lot in kind of a little mob, and they're coming toward me, and I knew what they wanted me to do. And so they came, they said, "Hey, Doug, probably heard that we're planning on going on strike." And I said, "Yep, I heard that." And he said, "Are you with us?" I said, "Nope." I said, "I cannot go on strike. God gave me this job," I told him. "God gave me this job. I thank God for the wage that I get, and no, I'm not going on strike." And they got mad. They got really mad. They could have attacked me there, but they went off in a huff, and they did not go on strike. Why couldn't I go on strike? Because God gave me that job, and I was grateful for that job. And I knew that, and it was such a different attitude than I had before I was a Christian. Obey, the Lord says, with a sincere heart. Your boss. Obey with a sincere heart. Sincere means pure and genuine in the Greek, but it also means non-hypocritical. Don't just try to put on a show when the boss is around and then do something else. Don't try to have a good attitude when the boss is around and have a bad attitude when he's not around. He wants our hearts to be sincere because we're serving God. Turn with me to another passage here. James chapter 3. Would you please? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. How many of us need wisdom in life? Why? And God gives wisdom to those who ask. But listen to the wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom that comes from God counters our natural tendencies. What we would normally do, God's wisdom and word counter that so that we can learn what's pleasing to Him. So it says here in James chapter 3, verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there will be disorder and every vile practice." You know, it is good to be ambitious, but it's not good to have selfish ambition. It is good to try to do better and to be better and to learn more. But selfish ambition is self-promotion at anybody's cost. I'm only part of this job because of what this job will do for me. That's what causes disorder. Has anybody ever worked with people like that who are just have a selfish ambition? They're not for the company. They're not even for their fellow employees. They're for themselves. And that always causes disorder. God's word is so accurate. And every vile practice comes out of that. So God is talking about an attitude here. Let him see your good works in the meekness of wisdom. Okay? So back in Ephesians, be obedient. Number one. Oh, how we don't like that word sometimes. Obey. Obey the law. That's why we have law enforcement. Because we are not obedient by nature. Oh boy, now you're really quiet. Okay. I always say this, whenever an officer gives you a ticket, you thank him for doing a good job. You tell him how much you appreciate that. Be obedient. Secondly, be honest. Be honest with no false appearance. It says there, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. It means not only working hard when the supervisor is there or the boss is there watching you, where everybody just is on point and focused until they leave, and then everybody kind of relaxes. And no, we're to be diligent whether he's there or not. Why? Because we're serving the Lord. That's what the whole passage is. Rendering service from the heart as to the Lord and not to man. See, so as a Christian, we realize that we have a higher calling on whatever job we have. Clerical, janitor, supervisor, whatever field of work that we're in, we have a higher calling for that job. God gave us that in order to put bread on the table. We need to work. Praise God for that. But there's a higher calling. We can adorn the gospel of the Lord. Every place we work is our sphere of influence. And we've got to see it as a sphere of influence for the Lord. How diligently do I work when the boss is gone, when no one's looking? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Do I work as hard when people are not watching me as when people are watching me? Matthew 25. Go back to Matthew 25 with me. A great passage of Scripture here. But sometimes when we read these passages of Scripture, you know, God's Word is inexhaustible. We don't put it in the context of certain themes. Well, in the context of not being lazy and working hard and diligently, even when the master's not around, is what Jesus was addressing here in Matthew 25. And he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like these things. This is what it's like living in the kingdom. Now, we've talked a lot about this through the book of Ephesians, right? The first three chapters of Ephesians tell us everything that we already have in Christ. Who we are in Christ, all the riches he's given us. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are already there. He's already taken us out of the dominion of darkness. People are in the dark with regard to God. And he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now Jesus says, this is what life is like in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. We're in the realm of God's rule. Okay? We're different. We're different than the world. And in the kingdom, Jesus says, for the kingdom will be like a man, verse 14, going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. When we work for somebody, we're entrusted with their property, right? To the one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once. Now the master's away. He's gone. Went at once and traded them and made 5 talents more. And also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5. Here, I've made 5 more. Notice he said, here. It didn't belong to him. It was the master's property. It was the master's money, not his. And the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And also, he who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents here. I have made 2 more. And his master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. In other words, I'm not going to work for you because you're not a good boss. Think about that. I'm not going to do what you want because I don't like the way you run the company. So I was afraid and I hid your talent in the ground. Here's what's yours. And the master answered to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. Now that's a powerful passage of scripture. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, Jesus said with regard to hiring people, he who is not faithful in little will not be faithful in much. The way you test people is, how do they do with a little? How do they do with a little? I have a friend who is a banker. What he does is very interesting. Is when he is going to be hiring a supervisor, promoting somebody within the company, he takes them out to play golf. I don't know of another sport that tests the integrity of a person than golf. And this is what he does. He just goes out and plays golf and doesn't tell them they're up for promotion, and he watches how they play. Do they count every stroke? Do they throw their clubs when they miss a putt? I know a guy once who got so mad he threw his golf clubs in the lake. And then he had to wade out and get them because his car keys were in them. It tests the man. He wants to know that man's character. Is he faithful in a little? That's very wise. Years ago, again, I was a concrete worker, concrete finisher with the union in Denver. And we were building Stapleton International Airport. Not building it, but adding to it. And I was putting out runways, working with the crew on building runways. And then we were building the parking structures. And my boss, Willie, who was old, he's probably younger than me, but he looked old back then. And he said, Doug, this morning I want you to go out there on the perimeter and get those big concrete columns that are supporting the parking structure. And I want you to dress them up, patch all the holes. And I said, okay. It was raining. It was cold. I get out from everybody. I knew I wouldn't see another soul all day long. And I've got a bad attitude. And I'm thinking, Doug, what are you doing here? I mean, I'm going to work hard on this column, and no one is going to see my work but the pigeons up there. I mean, it's just a waste of time. I just had a bad attitude. And one day they're going to tear this place down, and what good is it for me to do this? Which they did, okay? I had a bad attitude. So I go out there, and of course, these pillars are like 25, 30 feet high, and you have to build your scaffolding, and you have to get a rope and pull up all your concrete mud. I mean, it's work. And so I'm out there, and I'm moping around at first, and then God reminds me of his word here in Colossians. Doug, you are serving the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as serving the Lord. That verse, because I was memorizing through the book of Colossians at that time. And that verse came to me, and I got so convicted. This was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I said, oh, God, forgive me. Okay. All right, I'm going to work as to you. So I looked at the columns, and I said, how many can I get done in one day? So I just went after it. Up and built my scaffolding, ran up the scaffolding, pulled my mud up, started to do that, got one column done, went to the other one, pulled the scaffolding down, built it up, pulled it up the next scaffold, the next column, up and down, up and down. Worked through lunch. I didn't want to take a whole lunch break because I had a goal of so many columns I wanted to get done that day. And I just, the day went by really fast. You know how fast the day goes by when you work hard? I was focused. I had a goal. I was competing against myself, and I had a great day. So the next day, I go to work, and Willie comes to me, and he says, Doug, come here. And I said, what is it, Willie? He says, you were working on the perimeter yesterday. I didn't see you all day. I said, no, I didn't see anybody all day, Willie. And he says, well, somebody saw you. I said, what? He says, the superintendent of the entire job, his office, you didn't know this, was right across the street from where you were working. And his desk has a window over it. And he watched you work all day long. And he came to me this morning, Doug, and he says, Willie, when this job ends and you send everybody back to Union Hall, keep that boy right there. He's your best worker. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Because I had such a bad attitude in the morning. I said, oh, God, thank you. And that's exactly what happened. That job closed down. Willie took me with him to the next job. I never missed a day of work. Because God changed my heart and changed my attitude. That's what the Word of God does. He sent a big lesson to me there. Christians should be the most trusted and hardworking employees that any company could have. Number three, be faithful to God. We understand we have a higher calling on the job. Work as servants of Christ, it says in Ephesians, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, He's talking to slaves here and masters. Rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not to man. So in other words, here's a great motivation check. What motivates me at my workplace as a Christian? Is it my paycheck? Well, that's a great motivator for all of us, right? Is it a pay increase? Is that what's motivating me? Or maybe it's more retirement or more pension. Is that what's motivating me on the job? Or better position? Is that what's motivating me on the job? You know, it's a motivation check when we read God's word. Am I really working because God's given me that job and I appreciate what God's doing in my life and the way he provides? Or am I in it for selfish interests? Whew. I mean, all of us, that hits to the heart of our sinful nature, okay? But this is how we please God. And notice, slaves, it's talking to slaves there in Ephesians 6. Slaves did not have retirement. They didn't have vacation time. They didn't have sick leave. There was no promotions. There was no increase in salary. They were to serve God because God had blessed them with that job and they were serving the Lord Christ. What an attitude that changes our job environment. We can go to work every day saying, God, thank you for another day here because I'm serving you. Thank you for your provision. And God does provide. Do I understand that God has given me this job to serve him with all my heart? It's an attitude toward the workplace. And many times in Scripture, it's talking about this. Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. In other words, who's your boss? Who's my boss? Who is my boss ultimately? That's a good question here. And this Scripture answers that question. How's my attitude on the workplace? The key is, I am serving the Lord here. Whatever the job is, I'm serving the Lord. That's where the joy comes from. That's where the peace comes from. That's where the energy comes from. That's where the fulfillment comes from, is understanding that. We're in a new realm. We're in a new kingdom here. We're operating under the Lordship of Christ. So we have to beware of compartmentalizing our ethics. In other words, the way we function in the workplace, the way we talk, the jokes we tell should be the same as the way we function in the church with brothers and sisters. There should be no difference in our language, in our attitude, things we talk about, our perspective on life, right? Same. Last night after the service, a friend of mine was visiting here from out of state. He said, Doug, I'm battling this on my job right now. He says, the hardest thing about the job that I have are the Christians on the job. Because they're talking to me about these women that they have on the side. They're drinking, they're cussing, but they say they believe in God. I'm having such a hard time with that because that's what compartmentalization is. You see, on the job, values are different, Doug. The way we talk is different. You got to understand that, okay? I don't want to be weird. I mean, I got to do this. No, we don't have to do that. Compartmentalization in the Bible is called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is being two-faced. We want to be consistent, amen? When I was working construction, they called me preacher boy. These big construction guys, they would say, Toller, quit talking to us about that. Go into the ministry. I said, I am in the ministry. You guys need to hear this. I'd tell them that. I am. I'm not going to get more in the ministry than I am right here, you know. And when they were in gangs at lunch or that, oh, they would try to get me. They'd put pornography in my lunch bag. They'd tell the filthiest jokes. In fact, I got so irritated that I went out and bought a book of 1,000 clean jokes. I encourage you to do this. There are some great jokes out there that are very clean. And every time they tell a dirty one, I'd tell a clean one. And they would laugh. I said, you guys don't have to be dirty to laugh. I mean, every way I could, I just wanted them to know. And I prayed, Lord, get me one-on-one with these guys. Because in the group, they would all tease me and come down on me. But one-on-one, when I got to work with them, they'd say, hey, Doug, what's this Christian stuff you're into? I'd tell them a little bit. They said, well, hey, throw one up to the man upstairs for me. You know, my wife and I aren't doing good. I'd say, oh, yeah, tell me about it, you know. And I'd be able to meet them one-on-one all the time. That's the ministry. We're in the ministry. All of us are in full-time ministry. Amen? Yeah. One time I'm working at Stapleton, and I'm doing some concrete work, and this engineer comes up behind me, and you can always tell the engineer's on the job. They got the white hats and the white shirts and the ties, and they walk around and inspect. And he comes up behind me, and he says, "Excuse me, are you the Christian concrete finisher?" That's what he says. And I said, "Well, I'm Christian, and I'm a concrete finisher." And he says, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." So I thought, boy, I guess Willie's not going to mind because he's an engineer here. And he says, "I recently gave my life to the Lord, and I'm Jewish, and I've got a lot to learn. Would you have a Bible study with me in the morning before work and help me learn?" I said, "Well, sure." So there we are, next morning and every day, half hour before work, I'm over in the corner with this engineer, and we're having a Bible study. You know what the rest thought I was doing? Oh, they thought I was just trying to get promotion. There's other language for that. But no, God brought that man into my life to help him grow in the Lord. What a great time that was. See, the Lord blesses us. The Lord knows. We don't have to put a bushel over our light on the job. As we say here so often, everybody else has come out of the closet. Christians need to come out of the closet, okay? And be who God's called us to be. Let that light shine. Number four, okay, in Ephesians. Be ready to receive a reward from the Lord. And those rewards come in many ways, like I was rewarded there. The scripture says in Ephesians, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. Boy, we've got to know that. It's God who is our rewarder. The Lord is the one who will bless our lives in many ways, many ways. Now, I want us to turn to three passages of Scripture before we close, and we're not going to take a whole lot of time with these. First one is Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord. Galatians 6 says in verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that also he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life, eternal life." It's like planting a garden. Our actions, our words are like sowing seeds. We're either going to get a good crop back that's going to be nourishing and fulfilling and satisfying, or we're going to get a bad crop that ruins and destroys everything in our life. "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart." Why would we lose heart? Because we're working, doing our best, and nothing's happening. It doesn't seem like God's blessing us. It doesn't seem like he's hearing our prayers. That's why we lose heart sometimes. The scripture constantly encourages us, don't lose heart. Continue being faithful, because in due time, you're going to reap a harvest. That's the promise of Scripture. Go to another passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and this one is so important because this talks about our attitude toward Christian employers. Christian employers. When you start thinking about this theme, you realize how much of Scripture is focused on what we're talking about today. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, "Let all who are under a yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled." Again, look at that. There's a bigger calling here. Not just simply working, bigger calling. Influence for Christ, making God's word attractive, not taking away from the truth of God's word, not diminishing that. Then verse 2, "Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved." So if you have a believing master, why does God say that here? Why would he put that in here? You know why? Because many Christians tend to take advantage of a brother in Christ as their boss. How do they take advantage? I can't tell you how many times I've gone down this road. Someone has a believing boss, and their vacation time is all up. But because we go to the same church, Because I know them and they're a friend of mine, and they understand we've had a hard year, they're going to give me 10 more days just because we're a brother in Christ. Or they understand that we can't make ends meet, so surely they're going to give me a raise because they're a brother in Christ. They'll give me a break. They'll change the rules for me because we're Christians. God says, don't do that. Do not do that. We should serve better than any other employee that they have, because the money that they're getting, if they're a true Christian, is going to benefit the church. It's going to benefit many others. Life is not about me. It's about what God wants to do through my life. And that's what we're seeing through the book of Ephesians. This is why, and I know many Christian employers, many Christian businessmen, oftentimes they avoid hiring Christians because they've been burned by that. It is a lot easier to deal with a non-Christian than a Christian who has these unrealistic expectations about you. And that's so sad. We should be the best workers ever, whether our employer is Christian or not. Amen? That's right. God addresses that because this is what happens. And lastly, what if you have a boss that is absolutely unjust? You can't do anything to please them. Ever had a boss like that? Nobody here? Okay. Nothing I can do can please them. They're always, and I get blamed for things I didn't do. And okay, God gives us directives. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe these scriptures we're going through today, Christians should memorize these. Unjust. Says in 1 Peter 2:18, servants, again, here we go, talking about the workplace too. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. So you're talking about an unjust boss, a boss that is not making the right decisions, a boss that is corrupt, a boss that is underhanded, all right? You're talking about an unjust boss here. Be respectful toward him. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God. Look at that. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin, you are beaten for it, and you endure it? If you make a mistake and you're reprimanded, you need to be reprimanded. But if when you do good and suffer for it, and you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. This is life in the kingdom. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. I can't tell you how many times I've camped in that passage of Scripture, because it gives such clear directives of how to please God in the workplace, even when we have an unjust boss. I had a time when I was a truck driver. I had a boss I just really, he just didn't like me. I didn't think he liked me. And he was always on my case. So one day we have this real technical dirt dump, okay? And I don't know if you've never run dump trucks and 18-wheelers, you may not understand this. But it was a soft area, and we're coming in with these 18-wheelers, and they have two hydraulic buttons, and you release the gates. And if you release the gates too soon, you get hung up and you get stuck. And so my boss was there with all these engineers right in front of him. We were dumping, and I said, God, please don't let me get stuck. Please don't let me get stuck. I did everything right that I could possibly do. Tripped one gate, tripped the other gate, was getting ready to move, and whoom, 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 and I get stuck right in front of him. The only guy that got stuck. And my boss comes down off the hill and jumps on my truck, and this far away from me, cusses me out so loudly in front of everybody. Told me what a rotten truck driver I was, and to get out of here, he didn't want to see me the rest of the day. So the bulldozer comes in, pushes me out. I go back, and I think, oh, Lord. And so I get my truck ready. I've not left yet. A little flag girl comes up to me, and she says, Doug, I had to talk to you before you leave. I said, what is it? She goes, you know, when Johnny came in and cussed you out down there because you got stuck, he came back to the engineers, and I was standing there, And he told them, I don't know why I keep getting on that boy. He's doing a good job for me. God sent that flag girl to me to show me that he's still working. I mean, God has brought this home to me so many times in so many situations in my life to know that he is working all the time. Life is not about me. It's about my attitude. And I wanted to hit him. I mean, in my early years before BC, that would have been it. But God was teaching me a new way, okay? And he was showing me, Doug, I am there all the time, and I'm working. And lastly, attitude toward employers. And we're going back and finishing up with Ephesians here. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with them. So as employers, we have to treat our employees with respect, fairness, and knowing we both, employee and employer, have the same master, and God is not impartial in his judgment. So there's a fear of God, whether you own a business or whether you're employed by a business. God's word speaks to both areas. And we all know by the scriptures, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And lest there would be any kind of wondering what God is talking about, the next verse says, you are serving the Lord Christ. That's who we're serving as Christians. See, we're in a different realm. We're not in this kingdom of darkness any longer. We're in the kingdom of heaven. We're walking in the kingdom of light. And it's a new way of living. Isn't God great? Amen. So Matthew chapter 5 says, You are the light of the world to your sphere of influences. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Praise God, right? Let's bow for prayer today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. We're so grateful. So grateful. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, there is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. If there's any good, it's you. It's your working in us. So we thank you for your mercy, your patience, your long-suffering with us. Thank you that we are being changed from one degree of glory to another by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we want to yield ourselves to you so that your full will can be done in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you for this. Lord, if we've had a bad attitude on the job, forgive us for that. If we've been disrespectful and argumentative, forgive us for that today. Thank you for the employment you give us. Thank you for the wealth that we have. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you thanks. Praise your holy name. Lord, just be honored and glorified in our lives as your people. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may we never take for granted either the abundance that you give us, because it is you that's given us the power to get wealth. And now, Lord, what do you want us to do with all the wealth that we have? We came into this world with nothing. We're going to take nothing out of this world. So, Lord, it's all yours. And may you be honored and glorified in every part of our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.